Amen. Amen. Praise be the name of the Lord. Amen. Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. As you know or may not know, my favorite book in the Bible is Philippians. If you would like to start your year off good, let me give you a little formula that will make a difference for you. If you will, during the month of January, if you will read the book of Philippians every day, there's only four chapters in it, and if you'll read that book every day, it will be a blessing to you. It's a book about joy, and it will help bring joy to your life. And that's what you want during this coming year. But now that's only four, and you're supposed to read five chapters a day. So if you're looking for that other chapter, there are how many chapters in the book of Proverbs? 31, which matches the number of days in the month. And so if you will read one chapter of Proverbs corresponding to the day of the month, along with Philippians, you'll get wise and full of joy. It'll be a blessing to you. All right? But you should always read Proverbs. I mean, no matter if you ever get to the place of, what can I read in the Bible? Whatever day of the month it is, if it's the 17th day of the month, you read the 17th chapter of Proverbs. You always read the chapter of Proverbs that corresponds to the day that you're on. And that way you sort of keep catching up with things. You don't get behind. Proverbs can do that because Proverbs is not set up in any, it is an order, but it's not something that if you miss a chapter, it doesn't impact the other chapters as well. So it works well with things. All right, Philippians chapter 3, one of the verses that probably preachers use more than any other at this time of year when we're talking about looking ahead and looking behind. Paul writing to the Philippians said, "Brethren, I count," this is verse 13, I hope I said that, chapter 3, verse 13, 13 and 14, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." Tremendous message by Paul in those scriptures about how we are to look at the new year. Does anyone have an idea of what the most powerful force in nature is? And it's a tricky thing in a way. I'm scared to use it that way, but it's considered that. I know we think about hurricanes and tornadoes, and those are destructive forces. They have forces. But scientists say one of the most, let's put it that way, one of the most powerful forces in nature is a growing squash. Now, who would think that a squash would have power? They have hooked it up in such a way that they put a lever over the top of the squash so that whenever it would grow, it would push up on the lever. When the squash was growing, 18 days old, it lifted 50 pounds with that lever. And 19 days later, it lifted 5,000 pounds. Just the growth of that squash. That's powerful. That's some powerful things involved in faith. So we would think normally of a squash is not something that was very useful or anything. And yet, God can make it to do great and mighty things. And so that same way, God can make you to do great and mighty things in your life. I had lunch today with a pastor. He needed some help with the computers and stuff, and so he called me, and I ate lunch with him, and he said, "Mike, y'all are doing great at Lebanon. Can you tell me what your secret is?" I said, "Yes, I can tell you the secret. If you got enough money, I got the time." He said, "How much money do you need?" I said, "Well, you buy lunch today." He said, "Oh, I can do that. I'm going to do that. All right." But at any rate, he was asking about different things. And I said, "Well, let me just ask you this question. What is the goal that you have for your church?" And he looked at me for a moment. He said, "Mike, I really don't have one." I said, "You're reaching your potential. If you really don't have a goal, then that's what you're reaching." And we'll look at that just a moment here. But in the process of looking at goals, we're going to look at the title of the message today, Dangers of Goals. Because there are some dangers that we need to understand about goals. And I want to just mention several of those. We'll look at some very quick things. Some of this material we've covered in other places. I try to, again, repeat stuff because I've learned that if you say it one time, people don't always get it. But if you say it several times, they tend to get it more often. So I do that. The first danger that you have in setting goals is this: not setting a goal. Where there is no vision, people perish. Do you know why we have set a goal that we're going to reach 500 people on the fourth day of April, which is Easter Sunday of 2010? Because that's how many we're going to have. And if we didn't set a goal to have that, do you know how many we'd have? 240, because that's what we have now. But we've set a goal that we want to reach something. We believe it's a godly goal because we're going to try to reach souls for Jesus Christ. And we believe it's a goal that will have a big impact for the kingdom of God. I wonder how many of you remember the preacher listed three goals that he wants to accomplish Sunday night. Anybody remember what those goals were? Financial stability was one. Okay, let me listen for you. Preacher's not here. He won't be embarrassed. I can tell you what they are. All right. First goal he had for you was that you would be prepared to die. He wants people prepared to die. Now, that involves more than getting saved. I can tell you this, it involves a lot. One of the books I'm trying to write, I think the most important one right now, is Preparing to Die. I had a lady in a church that was one of the most wonderful ladies in the world. I love her like a mother. She was a wonderful, wonderful lady. And she had a man who was a good man but wouldn't come to church. And they had a daughter that lived up in Virginia. And they went to Virginia for the Christmas to visit her daughter. And her husband ate lunch, said, "I don't feel good. I think I'm going to lay down." He went to lay down. She went in there in about a half hour and he's dead. She's in Virginia. Her husband's dead. She calls me. We work out all the details. We get him back. Funeral's over. We dealt with everything we had to deal with. We're talking. And I called her by name. I said, "Sis, what kind of arrangement, what kind of finances do you have? We as a church need to know kind of how to help you. Do you have life insurance? Do you have savings? Do you have bank accounts? I'm not asking for how much. I'm just asking what we need to do to help you right now." And she says, "Preacher, I don't have a clue. I have no idea what my husband made. I have no idea where our money is at. I don't have any idea what our bills are. He handled all of that. And I didn't handle any of that. And we had to actually go to the banks and ask if they had an account there and deal with all kind of issues that had to be dealt with on those things." Preparing to die is an important thing. So preparing to die, being financially stable, and being familiar, I thought you'd remember this one, being familiar with your body. Now, that doesn't mean that you take your clothes off and look at yourself and say, "Boy, you're fat." But it means that you become familiar with the body of Christ and its work and what it's trying to accomplish and the things of God. So you become familiar with your body. Those are the three goals. When the preacher asks you Sunday morning now, y'all just challenge, he's going to say, "Woo, I did so good, they remembered every one of them." And so you remember when he asks you Sunday, all right? But the first goal, that danger we have, is not setting a goal. The second danger of goals is having only general goals. That is, you are not specific. He who aims at nothing normally hits it. And if you make it your goal during the coming year to be better, what does that mean? I want to do better in 2010 than I did in 2009. What does that mean? How do you do that? You have to have something specific that you're aiming at. You have to say, I want to make sure I'm going to pay off my car. I'm just picking something up. I'd love to pay off your house, whatever. I want to make sure that I get debt free. That ought to be the goal of every person all the time. The borrower is servant to the lender, and you're captive. And Jesus came to set the captives free. And so you ought to pray, God, set me free from financial debts and help me not to be bound down by them. And that doesn't mean you... I told the preacher, he was talking about people calling about different things. I said, preacher, I hate it. Don't mean any harm, but January is the worst month that a preacher can have. Because in January, all them people who spent money they did not have for presents that people did not need, that money's going to come due in January. And they're going to have to pay an increased light bill, a heavier heating bill. Everything's going to go up in January. And they got all those bills that come clumping in from Christmas as well. And they're going to say, I can't do this. Well, you kind of should have thought about that a little bit in December, you know, with things. But we can do what we can do with things. But you need to have specific goals to say, all right, I need to know what I can do and how I can do and what I can handle in life. So be specific. And then you need to have a stable goal. James says that a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. You not only have a specific goal, but a stable goal. Something that you can say, okay, this is something that I'm trying to reach that's stable. And you don't start off saying, well, I think my goal is going to be that I'm going to pay off my car. And then 3 months later, you say, no, I think my goal is going to be I'm going to pay off my house. And you keep moving from goal to goal to goal. You don't ever accomplish anything. You need to have a goal that is stable for that you know what you're trying to do. I wish we had time for this. We really don't tonight. I'm just going to ask you to think this one through. What five? Let's do three. What three goals do you want to accomplish in your spiritual life this year, coming year? What three goals do you want to? Now you say, I want to read the Bible more. No, you don't. You want to read, instead of reading two chapters a day, you want to read three chapters a day. I'm specific. So you don't want to read the Bible more. If you say, I want to read the Bible more, that's like saying, I want to vaguely be better kind of thing. All right, I want to pray more. No, you don't. What you want is to get up 15 minutes earlier than you normally get up and spend that 15 minutes in prayer. Did you know the average Christian in the average church cannot pray 15 minutes? They done told God everything there is to know about 10 minutes. They done told God how to all the world so be running 10 minutes. And they don't know what to do with 15 minutes. But if you're really going to get in touch with God, then you're going to need to have time to get your heart prepared and allow God to really see what's needed in your life. And so you pray specifically for a time frame. You do specifically for a thing. Now, the Bible talks about vain repetitions, and we don't use vain repetitions. Oh, God bless this one. Oh, God, but you don't do that kind of stuff. But I have a list that is sometimes so big, I have to, and some people I have to look at my paper list sometimes. I can't remember all of them. I'm getting old. But I have a list of certain people that I have prayed for years, and I pray for them if the Lord will help me every single day that the Lord sends down the pipe. When I came to this area, Brother A.C. said, Mike, you move it in here. I'm going to let you have this land. I said, Brother A.C., I don't have any money. What can I pay you? He said, if you'll just pray for me. And I said, Brother A.C., if the Lord will help me, if I can remember, I'll pray for you every day the Lord sends. And I don't remember a day that's ever gone by that I have not lifted him and his family up in my prayers. And sometimes I lift them up hard because they don't come to church, some of them. And I'm not happy. But at any rate, that's a different story. Don't want to talk about personalities. I'm just saying, I pray for them. Lay it on them. Hard sometimes. But pray specifically for people that they would do what they need to do. And so you have specific goals, not general goals. And then sometimes what happens is we have the wrong goal. After many days, the younger son gathered all things together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. That's the prodigal son. The prodigal son had a goal, but it was a wrong goal. His goal was to have a party, have a good time, do what he wanted to do, and waste all he had. And you can have a wrong goal. You can base it on popular opinion. Everybody say you ought to have a goal to save the planet. Now don't misunderstand me. I guess we have a responsibility to be environmentally astute. But we're just painting the Titanic. I mean, the world's going to be burnt by fire one day soon. I don't know that I need to spend a lot of time preserving Mother Earth. I need to spend a lot of time with Father God. That's what I need. And so sometimes you can have a wrong goal in your life. And it's not necessarily wrong to be environmentally what you need to be, but I just think sometimes people think they worship Mother Nature rather than Father God. And they don't need to do that. So you can have a wrong goal in your life. I'm going to give you some goals in a minute, but let me give you a couple of things that help you get kind of an idea of what a goal ought to be. First of all, if you're going to have a goal, it ought to agree with God's Word. Suppose today, let me start off one place, go to another, all right? Suppose today I said my goal in life was to rob a bank. I'm going to pray, God, help me to rob the bank. Give me the wisdom to rob the bank. Well, do you think God's going to hear that kind of prayer? That's foolishness. All right, but what if I change that to say, God, help me to win the lottery? Whoa, now, some people say, wait a minute now, that might be all right. I don't mind winning the lottery. See, I think it's wrong. I think gambling, whatever it is. You know, I don't think you need to do that. And so you can have a goal, and it may seem like you say, well, God, you ought to understand, God, if I won the lottery, I would help everybody in this community. Number one, you wouldn't. Too many people won the lottery and didn't. But number two, does that mean I can be Robin Hood and go rob from the banks and give to the poor that don't have it? No, it doesn't mean that. So you have to have a goal that fits in with the teaching of the Word of God. You have to have a goal that is based on godly issues rather than ego issues. James said you ask and receive not because you ask amiss that you may consume it upon your own lust. That is, when you begin to have a goal that you want to do something that you want to do in your own life, you say, God, this has got to be a good goal because it'll be a good thing for me. For instance, let me give you an illustration. This is one that a lot of people have to deal with. Suppose you pray for God to give you a really big boat. Got nothing against boats, but suppose you pray for God to give you a really big boat. You say, it's got to be God's will because God wants me to relax and enjoy myself. All right, and then Sunday comes, and you can't teach your Sunday school class, and you can't work with the youth, and you can't do whatever you do. I'm just trying to think, you can't do any of that stuff because you're out on the lake because, I bought this big boat. I got to do something with it. And so next thing you know, your prayer thing has sucked you away from God. I don't think God was in that. I don't think that's a proper goal for you to have. I think there are a lot of times that people pray for things that is part of their ego, part of their own fears in their own life. I would really rather that the person who ran into my wife's car Saturday would not have ran into it. I pray for her safety, and that person ran into it. Now, how many things work together for the good to them that love the Lord? All of them. So we're excited to see how God's going to work a good thing. He's working some good things. Number one, she hit it in such a way that all three of those girls could have been killed, and that would have been a mess if all three of those girls would have killed. I'd have had to put all kinds of in-laws and all kinds of stuff. That would not have been good. So that was, God prevented that from happening in our life. And we have to understand that there are things that we pray about, and yet sometimes we say, God, if any trouble comes my way, that something's wrong with my prayer. No, it's not. Because God may be using you and molding you to what He wants you to be. So is it for your ego? Is it in line with the Word of God? And then thirdly, a goal should be something you can accomplish. Let me give you a personal illustration, all right? I'm bald and I'm fat. That, y'all don't have to agree with that. Y'all can say, no, preacher. I mean, no, you can't store you in church, can you? All right? I'm bald and I'm fat. I can do something about the fat, but I can't grow hair. Do you get my point? I can pray, God, give me enough sense not to eat all them groceries that people have at this time of the year that's out there. I went to my brother's on Christmas Eve, and he had oysters and shrimp, and I had to pray, Lord, please let me stop. But it was good. All right. You have to learn that your goal is a goal you can accomplish. If you make a goal something that, for instance, you say, God, help this year for my young'uns to be better. Well, number one, what does that mean? What kind of better young'uns you want? Well, I want them to just be better. Well, what does that mean? Do you want them to watch less television? Do you want them to be more respectful? And by the way, I started to preach on respect tonight, and I may do that pretty soon, about how to get your kids to respect authority. And I can tell you the punchline ahead of time. It starts with the parents will be in authority. And that, it kind of follow along with those things. But that's a different story, different time with things. But whenever you set a goal, if you want your child to be more spiritual, then you spend more time with them in prayer, reading the Word of God, and doing spiritual things. It doesn't just happen. It happens when you do things. If you want something specific to happen, if you want your life to be better, what would make your life better? Well, if we had more money, it would make my life better. Well, figure out ways to have more money. And there are a lot of ways that you can do to cut down on money. We're talking about retirement. It's going to cut my salary exactly in half when we go to retirement. I've talked with a bunch of people who say, you can't live on that amount of money. I said, I did it for years. You know, I've been preaching for a lot of years. And I'm sure I can do that. And you may not know, my wife can cook salmon a lot of ways. We like salmon stew. We like salmon and rice. We like salmon patties. We like salmon with she just puts eggs in it and stirs it and pours. We could take a can of salmon and go a long way in our house. We know how to deal with those issues. And if people would realize that sometimes if you cut out one trip to a major eating place a month, you probably save about $100 because you've got a big family. And if you had $100 extra every month, guess what it would do? It would help you take care of your debts that you have to deal with. So you set goals, and then you figure out ways that you can deal with that, something that can be accomplished in your life. Now, if I set out as my goal today, all right, my goal is to be a great singer. Sorry about that, kids. Can't do it. I mean, I can listen. I know the notes. I done took the song leading and all those things. I went through the whole course. I knew all that stuff. I mean, I know when the high fours and the low lows and the threes and the all. I know how to do all them things. I went through the course. And man, I was surprised I couldn't hardly stand it. But I'd done all that stuff. And when it was over, I was telling the instructor, the man who was teaching us, I was saying, oh, you've done such a great job. I love it so much to know how you do the music and everything. And that scoundrel, love him to death, but that scoundrel, he leaned on the pulpit like this, and he looked me right straight in the face, thought he was my friend. And he said, Mike, you'll never be able to sing. And what aggravates me is he was telling the truth. So you can't set a goal to be a singer if you can't sing. And so you have to deal with goals. So make sure it's make sure you set a goal. Make sure it's not a general goal. Make sure it's not a wrong goal. And then make sure it's a goal you will finish. Most people will make goals in the next few days to lose 20 pounds this year. They go on diets. More people go on diets the second day of January than anything in the world. And generally, it lasts sometimes a week. Sometimes it lasts less than that. Sometimes they'll really clench their fist and it lasts 15 days. But most people, at the end of a month, haven't changed things. Now, I can tell you how to lose. A fat man can tell you how to lose weight. Let me tell you how to lose weight. Go on the Snicker diet. Now, what's a Snicker diet? A Snicker diet is whenever you cut out a Snicker every day. And if you cut out a Snicker every day, you will lose an ounce a day. And if you lose an ounce a day, that's 32 ounces in a month. 32 ounces in a month. That's 2 pounds. If you lose 2 pounds a month, that means in a year you've lost 24 pounds, and that's as much as you need to lose in a year. Because if you lose 40 or 50 pounds, it hurts your health, makes you grouchy and hard to live with, and makes you too proud of yourself. So 24 is good, all right? That's a good place. So we set those goals, but then we don't follow up with it. We don't deal with it. So if you're going to set a goal, you need to follow up and say, I'm going to finish that goal. I mean, determine, if you set your goal, you're going to lose 10 pounds. I mean, listen, if you have to, you just don't eat anything till it's finished. You say, well, preacher, you're crazy. I got to eat something. No, I mean, Jesus fasted 40 days. Honestly, I'll tell you, I fasted enough to know after about the third day, once you get through about the third day, don't bother you, really. You got to get through about that third day to get stuff out of your system, kind of. After that, don't bother you too much. Now, don't do that, because some of y'all get hurt your health. Some of y'all don't know how to deal with issues sometimes. Y'all think fasting means you can't touch nothing. You drink some juice sometimes every now and then. Drink a little water. Something you need to do. Jesus didn't do much all day, but you can do that. But if you got to do that, if you got to do it, do what you need to do. First of all, so follow up. And then secondly of all, you got to finish the goal, but not allow the goal to become the goal. The biggest danger this church is facing right now is not the devil. It is. He's the one that's going to deal with all these issues. But it's not the liquor crowd, the drug crowd. Put it that way. The biggest danger this church is facing today is finishing our new building. Most churches, when they finish a new building, they relax and stop working. When we hit 300 a couple of Sundays and y'all realize we couldn't go past that, all of y'all relax. And it's all we can do to crank y'all back up again now. Because if we're going to have 500 on 4-4, you write that down. All right? And so we got to knock this wall out here pretty soon. And we got to get over there. I ordered 200 more chairs this week. And we got to put people in them. Glory. And so you need to have a goal, but don't let the goal become the goal. That is, don't let it become where when you, if you lose 40 pounds, don't then go out there and say, I'm going to eat, 16 helpings a day from then on. You maintain what you've done. Don't let the goal become the goal. And then, thirdly of all, become flexible in your goal. Now, I don't mean unstable. I told you, don't be unstable. I mean flexible in your goal. Suppose you set a goal that I'm going to buy a new car this year. And you got in your mind that you're going to buy a Ford. I'm just picking. Okay, I'm going to buy a Ford this year. And you kind of got your mind on what you want to do. And you're saving up your money, and you're headed toward it, and you're praying for it, and you're doing what you need to do, and God's blessing, and you're getting the money. But along the way, you find out that a Chevrolet is somehow you get a whole lot better deal some way or whatever. I'm just saying something like that happened. And you realize that's what God's leading you to do. Be flexible enough to do that. That doesn't mean unstable. So you're still buying the car. It's just you're letting God show you which one to buy. Paul started out preaching to the Jews. When the Jews would not hear him, what did Paul do? Turn to the Gentiles. Paul said, I'm going to preach, and if you won't listen, I'll tell Fudge, but we'll listen to me. And so Paul made a goal to preach the gospel, and then he was able to move and change when God, in his wisdom, changed the direction of Paul's goal. So made it different than what it was. So let me give you quickly here, and our time's about up, let me give you some quick things to help you understand what kind of goal you're supposed to have. I'm going to go through these real quickly. If you need a copy of this, I'll get you a copy of it, all right? Number one, does your goal glorify God? Whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all to the glory of God. Does your goal glorify God? Are you after trying to bring something for you or for God? If you pray to be debt-free so that you cannot do anything, so that you can be so lazy that you won't accomplish anything for God, then God can't. Why would God do that? God wants you to do what you need to do. But if you say, God, if you'll release me from this captivity to this debt so that I can do more for the kingdom of God and the work of God, then God can say, yeah, I can work that. I can deal with that. God works those things out in our life. So does your goal glorify God? Is the goal God's plan for your life? David wanted to build the temple. But God said, I want Solomon to build the temple. I don't want you to build it. I want Solomon to build it. Now, David wanted to do it. David had a goal to do it. But that was not God's will for his life. That was not God's plan for his life. You need to find out what God's plan for your life is so that you can be what you need to be. Paul wanted to go to Asia. Paul had all intention of carrying the gospel to Asia. But God said, said, I got a man in Philippi that's calling you to come over and help us over in Europe. And had Paul turned around and went to Asia instead of Europe, you and I today would probably never have heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. See, God had to change his goal because it changed the world that way. So does your goal glorify God? Is the goal God's plan for your life? Will the goal draw you closer to God or tempt you to stray away from God? If God allows you to be able to do some things that you have goals for, will those things be better for you in the work of God, or will it hinder you in the work of God? We could go back again to things we pray for in our own house, in our own land and places and other things. Sometimes people pray for a new house, and they get so busy taking care of that house, they don't have time for God. And if your house becomes your God, you've missed the boat. So I'm telling you what's the truth. The house is going to be a poor comfort whenever you face death. It'll do a lot of good for you. So will your goal draw you closer to God or tempt you to stray away from God? Then fourthly, will your goal help build up the other parts of the body of Christ, or is it just to build up you? You know why I want to be a good singer? Number one, because I like good music. But number two, I want y'all to say, "Woo, Mike, you sure can sing." Now, wait a minute. I'm not after just glorifying God. I'm going to sing where y'all can think I'm the best thing since peanut butter. Now, you do too. See, I don't know that I've ever seen a singer that come down that, you know, they'll stand up and say, oh, don't listen to the words, the music, just, you know, the word, listen to the music, I'm not doing anything. But if you don't tell them how good they sang, they sure get cranky. Because everybody, you know, y'all know John's 14:3. You ladies got that on your refrigerator? Everybody needs a little bit of petting every now and then. John 14:3. You don't have that on your refrigerator? Are you glad? You ought to be in, you know, 18-point type on your refrigerator. Everybody's a little bit of pet every now and then. That's good. There, all right. Okay, will it build up the part of the body? Do you have enough, is your goal strong enough in you that you have faith enough in it to make it public? I can tell you, I've told you this before, but the way you accomplish your goal, first of all, you have a dream. If you don't have a dream, you're not doing anything. Then you tell a dream. You tell somebody about it. And then you do a dream. So you lock yourself into having to do it. You have a dream. You tell a dream. You do a dream. Now, I could have started off this thing and said, well, we're going to have a big crowd here Easter. I ain't telling nobody about it. I'm going to keep it quiet. I don't want nobody to know that I'm looking for 500 people on Easter. I'm just going to keep that thing quiet. Keep it down. Keep it where nobody will know what's going on here. Listen. I told the preacher, I said, preacher, let's dream big. You got a big God. People got to learn to trust big God. Big God. Jesus mighty to save. Jesus won't save people. He died to save people. I mean, I don't have to ask God, God, is it your will that people get saved? I mean, God, it's the will of God. It's not the will of God that any perish. Because it all comes to repentance. God won't save people. I don't have to pray about that. So pray God do something big. Say, God, let's, you know, if we can seat 500, how many of you reckon God wants us to have? I reckon He wants us to have 500. Well, let's get 500 then. All right? Let's go that. Let's go to the right and go 500. And so you begin to build on having what you have and make it public. Now, here's the thing. If on Easter Sunday we have 250, we're going to have egg on our face. Because we're shooting 500. So you say, whoa, Mike, wait a minute. Huh? I believe God wants us to have 500. I'm going to work for 500. I'm going to pray for 500. We're going to have 500. I mean, y'all don't believe that yet, but we are. And when y'all start believing, it's going to happen. Glory. You just got, if I could get one or two of you, we're two or three of you together, I'm in the middle of it. If I can get y'all to start believing, we'll do it. See, you just got to have faith to believe that. You've got to do that. So you build you make it public what your faith is, and you're willing to accept the fact. I mean, if I stood up today and said, my goal for the year is that I'm going to lose 40 pounds. Well, if here 6 months from now I'm still weighing up here 230 pounds, y'all going to say, whoa, Jones, you sure are, you know, you ain't done nothing. And I say, yeah, sure am, sorry, ain't I? You know? But, you know, if I could lose down to 40, I'd be what I was when I married that lovely young wife of mine 40 years ago. But anyway, we'll go through that another time. All right. Do other people acknowledge your goal as a godly goal? Whenever you present your goal to people, are other people, do they acknowledge it's a good goal? I've had times where at different churches that I would say, you know, I think it's a good thing for us to do. Let's look at this. Let's pray about this. Let's do this. And I'd go to the men of my church. I had good men, good deacons in my church, men I could trust and deal with. And I'd sit down and say, guys, listen, I'm sort of looking at this. Let's see what we can do with this. And they'd say, preacher, that sounds good. But have you thought about what would happen if this happened and that happened? And I'd say, guys, bad goal. Because if we do that, it'll mean this will happen and that'll happen and that'll mean that'll happen and that'll be a bad thing for this church. Well, I'm glad I talked to y'all. So you have to have a goal that you can share with other godly counsel and that they'll acknowledge it's the right goal. And then, is your goal something you want to be remembered by? What's your goal? How do you want to be remembered? If I could preach your funeral today, what would you want me to say about you? There lies Brother Mike. He was fat. He was bald. But one time he had hair. But he died bald. Amen. Let's take a bury in that. I want y'all to say something else about me than that. I want you to tell them about Jesus, mighty to save. How he worked in my life and what he did. Glories and the greatness of the wonderful God that we serve. Is your goal something you want to be remembered by? Are you willing to work for your goal until the fruit comes? The Bible says, be not weary in well doing, for in due season you shall reap if you faint not. Are you willing to do what you have to do till the fruit comes? If you're not, you're going to fail. Did you know that we have multitudes of people who start projects and never finish them? They do it at work. They do it in marriages. They do it in jobs. They do it everywhere. They start projects and never finish them. They say, that's God's will for my life. I'm going to do it. And then they fall out by the wayside and don't do what they're supposed to do. Are you willing to finish what God called you to do? And then finally, are you willing to quit your goal when God says it's time to quit it? If a goal is never reached, it's like putting, I've never been to a dog race, but they say what they do is they put a bone out in front of the dogs that runs faster than the dogs do, and they let the dogs chase the bone. Well, them dumb dogs, I know dogs is dumb anyway, but dumb dogs, you chase a bone and you don't ever get it. After a while, I'd stop and I'd say, you guys ain't fooling me this time. I'm going to get that bone or I ain't racing for it. And if you set goals and you never accomplish goals, you're not doing it right. There's something missing in your life. If I pray and God never answers a prayer that I pray, specific that I can say, God provided that for me, and I've messed up somewhere. Either somebody lied about God's provision, or I'm not praying right. And I can tell you time after 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 time when God's answered prayer. I believe God answers prayer. And I believe you have to set goals where you say, God, I'm going to accomplish that goal. And then when you accomplish that goal, what you get to do? You get to sit back and say, glory then. See, when y'all reach 300, I told the preacher, I said, preacher, let them rest a little bit. They need to. They're good people. They've worked hard. We've reached our goal. What you going to do? People kept saying, well, we need to go ahead and have 500. I said, where are you going to put them? What you going to do with them? Well, this is the time you build the foundation, you build the people. Now you've been lazy long enough. Go to work. Let's do what we can to reach more people for Jesus Christ. All right, let's pray and ask God to minister in our lives. Father, we love you today. We are thankful you're our God and you're a great and wonderful God. We praise you. We exalt you. And God, I thank you for the 500 people we're going to have on Easter Sunday. And God, I pray that the Spirit of God will move in such a way that multitudes of those people will find Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of their life. Oh God, what a great day that would be if we could report that out of 500 people, 50 people came to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Oh God, I know it's your will that people be saved, and I pray that you would help us each week to make it our goal to see somebody hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. For we pray it in his name, amen. Amen. All right, we appreciate you so much. Look forward to seeing you, Lord willing, Sunday.